Every year, perhaps even every week, there is some new gadget, device, service, or other digital offering intended to make our lives easier, better, more fun, or more instantaneous, making it that much harder to question how anything digital can be bad for us. Digital has created some wonderful things, and we can hardly imagine life without them. But according to our next guest, digital has also destroyed much that we have taken for granted, and he asks this question: what is our place in this brave new world? In his new book, Digital is Destroying Everything, futurist and digital marketing consultant Andrew Edwards discusses what digital is leaving behind and takes a look at the troubled landscape that may lie ahead. It's a great pleasure to welcome Andrew Edwards to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Joe. I'm glad to be here.
Let me get a sense of what brought you down this particular path of where you when you started to put all of this together as to a story.
Sure. I think I should go back to the beginning of kind of when I got into computers in the first place. I was confronted with a lot of people using green screens, and I kind of hated computers at one point. And then one day I saw a friend of mine was going to Columbia Film School, and they kind of gave him a Macintosh. And this was a long time ago when they were pretty primitive, but they had that graphical interface. And he invited me over and said, sit down at this thing and type something. And I typed something, and it came up in Old English. And I thought to myself, it was kind of an epiphany. If you can make a computer do this, you can kind of make it do anything. And that's kind of how I got into it. And so at first there was this sense of adventure, and it's, you know, kind of scrappy and small, and we're going to change the world. And for a number of years, no one really believed that. And then it really did start to change the world. And that's where I started seeing the notion that there's a narrative here that we're not really hearing. Most of the time when you hear about digital, you hear about its wonderful, quote unquote, disruptive power and the power to change things for the better. And I subscribe to that in part, but not entirely. And so in the book, I kind of focus on, there's an alternative narrative here about what digital is doing to us that may not be so great and what we might need to do to prepare for that.
The title of the book is Digital is Destroying Everything. Destroying is a very powerful word.
It is.
A very negative word. So when it comes to that destroying, it gives us that sense of that we had something good, and it has now been replaced by something that is not as good.
And I would say that that is not universal, but it's more frequent than I think people want to realize. So when, a lot of people in the digital industry, and I don't know how much folks know about this, but there's a term called creative destruction. And a lot of people in the business think about the fact that, let's say, for instance, this is big in the news these days. You know, Uber comes in and, quote unquote, destroys the taxi industry. And people will say, well, the taxi industry wasn't that great. And I may be one of those people who would say the taxi industry wasn't so great. But the example of where digital comes in and just completely changes the landscape is something that has side effects that we're not especially tuned into, perhaps, except when we see the mom-and-pop store close, or when we see the bookstore close, when we see shopping malls empty out. And this is because people are shopping more and more online.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems in reading the book that, sure, this you could put this in the technology section of the bookstore, but you could also put it in the psychology section of the bookstore. There's a lot of psychology in this book.
I think that's a fair statement. I wanted to write a book that wasn't really just about technology, because I think a few years ago one might have said, well, if you're writing about digital, necessarily it's a technology book. But I think what we have now is it has become digital, and all things digital have become so widespread and transformative and universal that it crosses over into almost every part of our lives. And that's what I wanted to kind of address in the book.
You make the point in the book that, and again, getting back to our psychology as a people, that just because it's digital, it's new and it's good.
Right. And I think we've kind of gotten used to that narrative because we've seen all kinds of wonderful things come out of it. Like I cite the fact that, hey, even if the only thing we ever got out of this was email, that would have been transformative in and of itself.
Sure.
But it didn't stop there. It went to, you know, the graphical interface became the iPod, became the iPhone, became, total interconnectedness for everyone. And those have definite benefits. But the challenge really is in the things that have been totally changed and can't really be replaced, and we're not really finding ways to deal with it. And I try not to make too big of a deal out of it, but you've seen, for instance, the music industry completely altered and pretty much destroyed. You've seen the whole print industry, especially newspapers, kind of gone away. And I don't try to say, boo-hoo, you know, they didn't deserve it. In a lot of ways, they were kind of set up for failure, and they also participated in their own destruction.
But when you look at this destruction, this destroying, as you call it, it does seem as though it is something that we haven't fully come to grips with of what we have lost.
We have not. And I think it's fair to say that even more so, we're not prepared for the changes that are coming. And one of among the things that I see, you know, at least in my personal observation, that are likely to be radically altered are, you know, jobs that people thought would have been protected. Because when people think about, you know, the robots and the automation, they automatically think about factories and things that are repetitive tasks by manual labor. Right. But now we're getting into a situation where, you know, artificial intelligence and robots and algorithms are starting to get so sophisticated that even knowledge worker type jobs are going to start getting impacted in a way that we really can't foresee.
So often when technology is dissed, it comes in the form of that we as a people do not like change. So if it's reading on a Kindle as opposed to reading a hard book, that is a change. You mention that argument in the book, but you make it more that it's far deeper than that, because as you just indicated, it's the jobs, it's the people, it's the infrastructure that is being radically changed.
Right. It's not so much that we don't like change, and I think it's a fair argument that we kind of don't, although we're always adapting. I think we may well adapt to this, but I think the challenge is, you know, what kind of fallout is there going to be during the adaptive period, which may be quite some time.
Subtitle of the book, What the Tech Giants Won't Tell You About How Robots, Big Data, and Algorithms Are Radically Remaking Your Future. In reading the book, I'm wondering how much the tech giants actually know.
Well, if you mean what they know about what's going to happen, I would say they don't know everything, but they have a pretty good idea of where things are headed. And it's not to say that, you know, the tech giants are nefarious. I mean, they have businesses to conduct and they have shareholders to protect, and that's fine. And the world does change. And it's not, you know, I try not to make the case that it's wrong that it's changing. It's just that we have many, many things to adapt to as we go through this.
And I guess what I'm asking in the question is that it not that it is nefarious by the tech giants, but that there is, as you said, there's the money aspect of it, which sort of overshadows the cultural aspect and what it will do to us down the road.
Absolutely. There's a large play for market dominance in the tech giants. So the model that I see operating in these fields is that, let's say, you know, you have an online retail giant or a social networking giant. The technology makes it possible for them to be so dominant as to actually purport to be able to put everyone else out of business. And if you look at the trends, you have companies that are incredibly dominant in their spaces, and they have almost no competitors. And that's sort of a new paradigm.
Andrew Edwards is the author of Digital is Destroying Everything, and the book is published by Rowan and Littlefield. Let's talk about robots. You spent a lot of time in the book talking about robots and the transformation. This is something that, and I guess I didn't even realize this, of how long they've been around, but and yet how it is really overshadowed and has become so commonplace in our world.
It's certainly becoming more and more commonplace. I would kind of want to make the point that there's kind of two branches here. There's the robotics, which is more kind of in a manufacturing environment,
yes,
and latterly and probably in the near future in a customer service environment, which sounds awfully surreal, but it's probably going to happen. But there's also another part of what one might call robotics, but it's really more about algorithms and machine learning, and so that when you talk about for instance, repetitive or even not that repetitive tasks that involve research, data synthesis, and then action based on data, you have these systems that are getting more and more sophisticated. So that, for instance, in the legal professions, the notion that you would have a room full of people doing research in order to fuel your arguments in law is kind of going away, because now with the push of a button, someone can gather all the data and have the template built and have the arguments made by an artificial intelligence.
If I'm shopping at the grocery store and I have seven items or less, and I go up to the bank of registers, and it seems that they're always full and bustling, and yet there are the three or four that are not operated by humans that you do yourself, and there never seems to be anyone there. Which brings up two points. One, is that a robot? Is that a robotic sense of an automated?
It is. It is in terms of how I would define it. I would say it is, because it applies software in order to help you with a process.
So the thing, and this is very anecdotal, but it seems that not many people go that route, even though they are given that option. I find that fascinating. So what is it with us of not wanting to do that?
Well, I think in that case, and this is actually another paradigm where companies are reducing costs by providing automated services that make it so that they don't have to have a person there, but they also offload a fair amount of the work onto you. So
right.
So when you go to the grocery store and they say check yourself out, they position it as a benefit, but as you're saying, because it's apparent that people don't really see it that way. They don't really want to go through the process themselves, even with the help of some really smart software. They'd rather just stand there and have somebody scan it for them. So I think, those kind of services are driven more by cost cutting and trying to say, well, we'll do part of it for you automated, but you do the rest. It's self-service. That's a good thing, right? And really, it kind of just offloads a lot of the work onto the consumer.
And often that work is kind of onerous, because you do it and you scan it once and it doesn't, and you put it
exactly on
the thing and it doesn't work, and then you have to call somebody over, and it just because, and that's why I don't use it. So I'm wondering, does that bring us to another level of that we also understand as a people the limitations of the digital world, of technology, and aren't, because it seems often that products are thrust upon us before they're quite ready.
This is true, and I think a lot of self-help system or self-service systems, I should say, and the automation of things like, applying for jobs and applying for insurance and all kinds of things that normally would be a phone call and a conversation, and your expert would do the work and you'd just kind of be the recipient of that benefit. Now those people are gone and you're left to kind of fend for yourself with a system that may or may not be supported. And I'm sure we've all had the experience of trying to get in touch with someone at the software company with little luck to try and figure out what went wrong.
So where are we headed when we look at this as an overall issue? Do you think, because the book is just even the title, it is destroying everything. It's not, it has destroyed everything. So we're still in the midst of this.
That's true.
So what are the opportunities that we have to change this, or at least find a comfortable balance?
Well, there's a couple of ways, different ways to think about it. I think people who would be kind of more on the pro-digital side might say, as digital takes over these tasks that we didn't really have fun doing anyway, it'll free us up to do more interesting things on our own. And there's some history to support that. In the course of human events, we find things that we used to do by hand, and now they're automated. And we do other stuff. The other way to think about it is that I personally feel like there's a real need for people to find things to do that do not involve staring at a screen. And I think that young people especially, and I hate to sound like an old timer here, but kids today, as they say, spend less and less time interacting personally and more time interacting virtually. And that would be fine, except for the fact that we've still got a physical presence to be inside of. And when we fail to connect with one another on a personal level and put proxies in between all that, we start to remove our sensory inputs to a point where where you get the sense that your world starts to shrink. And people like to talk about how digital expands your world, but I actually think that it only expands it to the extent of the screen itself. So I think that one of the recommendations I have is to find ways to not do things digital, to use digital for what it's good for, which is always kind of the way I approached it. Like I use it for what in ways that will help me in my business or will actually help me accomplish something I could not have done before, but not to use it as a stand-in for human interaction.
And final question then, are you optimistic of that future?
I'm optimistic in order to say that we've gone through these changes before. One of the points I make in the book is that, we had the agrarian revolution many thousands of years ago. We got through that. We got through the industrial age revolution. We're okay with that. But the problem that I see is what happens during the transition. It's always been rather an ugly process. And I suspect that we're in for rather an ugly process as we all get used to what it means to have continuing advances in digital.
The name of the book, Digital is Destroying Everything, by Andrew Edwards. It is published by Rowan and Littlefield. Andrew, thank you very much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
Great pleasure. Again, the title of the book, Digital is Destroying Everything, by Andrew Edwards. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.